Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has said it is a decisive moment for the Middle East ceasefire talks ahead of meeting today with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is Anthony Blinken's ninth visit to the Middle East since Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel. In a moment, I'll speak to Professor Ray Murphy from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. But first, for the very latest, I'm joined by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent. Alistair, thank you very much for taking our call this morning.
Morning, Claire.
What can we take from what Anthony Blinken has said, that this is probably the best and maybe the last opportunity? He's urging all parties to get the agreement over the finish line. I mean, he may have been positive in the past, but his comments, when you put them together with what Joe Biden said on Friday, where he said we're very close now to having this deal done, with some luck, it should happen. Why are they so confident?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'd say is that talks are on a knife edge, and I'm not sure that the confidence we saw from the US President, the White House, and actually the Qatar and Egyptian mediators as well on Friday, when the talks broke up in Doha, I'm not sure that confidence is quite as strong this morning. Over the weekend, there has been some skepticism about whether a deal is possible or not. Hamas have said repeatedly in public, and they've told us as well, that they don't believe Netanyahu is serious, and they have accused him of adding extra conditions into a ceasefire deal. But that's also something that's been circulating around Israeli media as well. But Netanyahu, the reports coming from his office are that he has some red lines, and the red lines in particular are around the ongoing presence of Israeli forces in certain places, so the Gaza Strip, and he's not willing to back down on those. So I guess the question is, on a Monday morning, as we enter a pretty intense and crucial week, you know, are the divisions actually real, or is this the two sides sort of retreating into their negotiating positions in order to try and ultimately extract the best deal?
And the Americans are putting this moment under huge pressure because of the fear of the spread of the war in Gaza, which has always been there. But right now, that fear is greater than it ever has been since the October 7th attacks, Alistair.
Yeah, I think from an American point of view, there's many things that are driving their diplomacy. Of course, what is going on in Gaza? And the fighting is continuing, particularly today and over the last few days in the center and the south of the Gaza Strip. There's another Israeli operation in the city of Khan Yunis. So you've got that. You've got the desperate need for humanitarian aid to get into Gaza. You've got 115 hostages still in there, and the need to get them out. You have the threats that still hang over here of retaliatory attacks by Iran and Hezbollah, put off for now, whilst the ceasefire talks play out, but not put off indefinitely. And then you've got President Biden's legacy and the fact that, you know, Americans are into full elections swing at the moment. The US elections are only months away, and he will want to leave office with a ceasefire under his belt. And also, I think he probably wants to remove it from Kamala Harris's in tray, because there is a sizable portion, and we'll see this play out in Chicago, I'm sure, over the coming days. There's a sizable part of the Democratic vote that is very pro-Palestinian and holds the current US administration responsible in part for the ongoing war.
Yep, and that's one of the issues we'll be discussing when we talk about the Democratic National Convention very shortly on the programme. Alistair, we'll let you go for now, but thank you very much for joining us on that. That's Alistair Bunkle there, Sky News Middle East correspondent. And as I said, Ray Murphy is with me as well, Professor Ray Murphy from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Claire.
So where do you think this stands? I mean, Alistair is tempering the hopes that people had perhaps in the lead up to the weekend that this deal could actually be done. Do you agree with what he has said?
Essentially, I do agree with Alistair, yes. Hamas are alleging that the Netanyahu government have imposed further new conditions on what was the original Biden peace plan. And central to that is control of certain locations, a number of them, the Netzarim and Philadelphia corridors, which are used by the Israeli forces for the quick deployment of their troops in and around Gaza. And they are afraid that if they relinquish control of these, that they will be used by Hamas. But it's a central element to Hamas's conditions is that there is a full Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. And really, while these are real obstacles to reaching an agreement, in my view, the biggest obstacle to concluding an agreement is, in fact, the Netanyahu government itself. If Netanyahu agrees to a ceasefire, a withdrawal from Gaza, and including the release of hostages, it's still likely that the extremist elements that form that coalition will withdraw and the government will fall. And that's, you know, what Netanyahu is trying to navigate, that space at present. But he is coming under huge pressure from the Biden regime. This probably is the last real opportunity for the release of the hostages. And the United States is using its intermediaries to keep Iran informed of the progress of these talks, because Iran has essentially said, if there isn't a ceasefire, if there isn't an agreement, we will be retaliating for the assassination that took place in Tehran very recently.
Okay, so everything rides on this moment, and its success or failure really depends a lot on Netanyahu and his strength in government. And we've known from the get-go of this crisis back in October that he was already in a very weakened position. And now that position, we can really see how that is playing out and how that's likely to influence the outcome of these talks.
Correct. And I mean, a very recent poll in Israel said that 63% of the Israeli population are in favor of some agreement for the release of the hostages. And that's another major factor, because there are daily and nightly protests in Israel from all those that support the release of the hostages. And there is the long-term consequences. If there isn't an agreement and the situation escalates, it will draw Iran, Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen into the regional conflict that may indeed engage the United States and its allies in the region also. So the stakes are extremely high for all of the parties. And while we have some sense of what's happening on the, you know, from the Americans and others releasing press statements, behind those scenes, we can't really be sure of the narrative that's taking place, except that if there isn't an agreement, it's unlikely then that in the short term that there will be an opportunity again to bring the parties together to try to resolve some of the central issues. Because we have to remember that this conflict does need to end at some stage. Mm-hmm. And the sooner it ends, the more likely we are to be able to provide the humanitarian aid that is immediately necessary for the Palestinians, the release of the Israeli hostages, and some prospect of restoring some degree of stability to get to some form of normalcy to return to the region. It is in nobody's interest that this conflict continues.
Ray, thank you very much. That is Professor Ray Murphy there from the University of Galway. And coming up next, Kamala Harris heading to Chicago as the Democratic National Convention begins. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.